I'm Francis Lam, and this is the show for curious cooks and eaters. So a while back, a friend was telling me that she's really not into bowls. And what she really meant was that she's confused by the bowl thing. You know what I mean? Like, why does every restaurant now have a dish called a bowl? Haven't people been eating out of bowls since there were bowls? Like, how does a whole category of dish suddenly show up in the late 20-teens called bowls? Well, America's Test Kitchen has wondered the same thing, and in their podcast Proof, Harry Wood tries to get to the bottom of the mystery.
The world's been eating food out of bowls since time immemorial, but the idea of the food bowl is a distinctly modern parable of 21st century desire for ease and ultra-customizability. Pick your meat, add a grain, throw in some veggies, a topping or two, a dollop of sauce, slop it all into a compostable container, and you're good to go. Do I think food bowls are a suspiciously simple, borderline, culturally insensitive, inexplicably popular food phenomenon? Yes. Did I eat a burrito bowl for dinner yesterday, and will I eat a poke bowl for lunch today? Also, yes. It's undeniable. Bowl craziness is in full swing.
While other burger places serve the same old stuff, I'm the only one who has the bowls to serve something different. I mean, just look at my teriyaki bowls.
Feast your eyes on new Banquet Mega Bowls, and you're looking at a mouthful.
Taco Bell's new Cantina Bowl. You'll love it, or we'll replace it with something you do. Guaranteed.
What's up with this bowl craze?
This is a Buddha bowl. A Lomi Lomi Salmon Poke Bowl.
Hey, yo, like we're gonna pop it with a burrito bowl.
With us. I would be very happy if I ate food out of a bowl for the rest of my life.
This idea all started, as most things in my life do, as a conversation with my mom.
Hi, Harry.
My mom works in Midtown, New York, and one day when we were thinking about grabbing lunch, I mentioned the idea of heading to pick up a bowl from somewhere. And she wasn't exactly excited by the prospect. And when I asked her why, she opened my eyes.
Food bowls make me suspicious. I don't understand why there is a need to have all those ingredients touching each other in one place. And it seems that every restaurant now feels the need to have a bowl bar. And somehow, no matter what is going into the bowl, whether it's poke or falafel or organic beets or butternut squash, somehow they all come out tasting exactly the same.
Okay, at first, I thought she was being like a little ridiculous. I mean, I eat bowls all the time. They're cheap, they're quick, they hit all the right notes. But the more I thought about what she said, the more I started to think, yeah, it is suspicious. Bowls are everywhere and they just keep popping up more and more and more. And as I went deeper, I thought, Maybe this whole thing is a conspiracy. Maybe eating bowls is exactly what they want us to do. It starts with a nice, warm, happy, aesthetically pleasing mix of all our favorite foods in one bowl. Then it's all our favorite foods in one food. Then before we know it, we're all happily drinking our government-supplied Nutrimush through a straw. They all taste the same, so we are the same. They all taste the same, so we are the same. I should clarify for the listeners at home, I don't actually think that our government is trying to control our minds through the use of grilled chicken and quinoa. Frankly, I doubt they are that clever, but I do think food bowls are super weird. Bowls have been around for almost as long as society itself has been around, so it seems strange to me from the start that something that's, you know, tens of thousands of years old is suddenly in the last 10 years become a huge phenomenon. But I actually think it makes sense why certain parts of how society's been shaping and shifting in the past decade or so has led to food bowls suddenly becoming this like hot new thing. And to get to the bottom of the bowl, I knew that I had to go straight to the source, the place where it all began. You guys hearing all this? The muted chatter, the sizzling of the grill, the backing track of generic mid-90s to early 2000s soft rock. That's right. You probably know where I am. I am in a Chipotle right now. Yeah, that's right. I am currently sitting inside the inner sanctum, a busy Chipotle on 34th Street in Manhattan. And I am surrounded by sheeple just chowing down on their bowls, face deep in their carnitas and their barbacoa, not even stopping to think for a second about why they're eating what they're eating. You know, like, come on. I mean, okay, yes, I am also eating a burrito bowl, but like I'm doing it in a woke way. You know, like I'm aware of what I'm doing. Like, in my defense, I have always eaten Chipotle burrito bowls, okay? I mean, that's where it all started for me. I still remember my first Chipotle burrito bowl. I was 11 years old, and a brand new restaurant had just opened next to the Staples in the strip mall in my hometown, where it quickly became a fixture of my family's Friday night takeout plans. It was reliable, quasi-Mexican food that didn't break the bank. It was a magical place where chips were lime-hinted, tortillas were warm, and guac was plentiful at a price. Restaurant data collector Technomic showed that from 2012 to 2017, food bowls saw an almost 30% increase in menu prevalence at restaurants nationwide. But while food bowls started to rise in popularity in the 2010s, Chipotle was way ahead of the game. They first started selling their burrito bowls in 2003, and the bowls quickly began to outsell Chipotle's burritos on the menu.
People have been eating bowls for a long, long time. But when you look at the scale that Chipotle kind of introduced them to America, you could say that this trend started with Chipotle.
That's Chad Browse, Chipotle's research and development chef. He's worked in some of the best restaurants in the world, Daniel, Per Se, El Bulli, but even he remembers his first burrito bowl.
I was working as a commis in New York City at a really fancy restaurant by Daniel Boulud. And Chipotle had just, I believe they just entered the New York market. So they were doing a little bit of promos and they came to our restaurant and did family meal for us. And I remember seeing this giant pile of silver wrapped burritos, but then next to it, burrito bowls. And that was my first experience. I loved them.
Chad works out of Newport Beach, and every week he travels around to try different foods in the SoCal area to make sure he's keeping up with the trends and staying ahead of what Chipotle should be seeing coming on the horizon. And it's no surprise that Southern California is a great place to keep up with what might be next for the food bowl. A lot of the trends that started in Southern California, the keto diet, the paleo diet, inspired the kind of avoidance of the tortilla that led to the inception of the food bowl in the first place.
So the idea stems from simply watching our customers. Steve Ells, our founder and the brainchild behind all of Chipotle here, he was in stores and just recognizing that people were changing the way they were eating in our stores. Lots of times they would either unwrap a burrito and then use a spoon or a fork to kind of devour the insides, or they would even just have us make it into the lined bowl that we generally pass the burritos on. It was just kind of watching how people want to eat and then adapting ourselves to that, you know, versus the other way around, where we'd tell people what to eat. So I think it was just a really good example of being in touch with your market.
And as the burrito bowl began its steep ascent, the numbers made it clear. Chipotle had hit on something bigger than just a country's love of affordable, fast, casual Mexican food. This trend was going to be bigger and wider than just Chipotle alone could contain.
A chicken burrito bowl is definitely more popular than a chicken burrito. It's funny like that. We sell more bowls than burritos actually here at Chipotle.
I am still feeling a little conspiracy theory-y about bowls. I mean, I have a better understanding of the forces behind where bowls came from, but why bowls? What is it about the food bowl that has so captured our collective imaginations? Does the comforting warmth remind us of childhood dinners? Are we unconsciously attracted to the sensual curve of a good bowl? That sounds a little far-fetched and Freudian to me. But Michael Whiteman, restaurant consultant for the firm Baum & Whiteman, doesn't think so.
There's something spiritual about a bowl that doesn't exist on a plate. And it's also sensual. It has to do with being able to cup a bowl in your hand like a Buddha. And you notice that many places are calling them Buddha bowls because they're all vegetarian. But it's not because of the vegetarian. It's the sensual experience of having a bowl in your hand that transcends anything you can get from having a sandwich in your other hand.
So maybe we are feeling okay with our poke. Getting naughty with our basmati, yeah.
One of the reasons that bowls have become so popular doesn't have to do with identity or health at all. I think it has to do with comfort.
Dara Goldstein is a cookbook writer and a professor who taught food studies and Russian literature at Williams College for 34 years. She's also the founder of Gastronomica, a major food and culture journal.
Something about eating food out of a bowl. I'm a porridge lover. I know a lot of people aren't. They think of it as Dickensian gruel. But if you think of a really wonderfully warming bowl of oatmeal or a bowl of soup, which is kind of the ultimate comfort food, the bowl is intrinsically a comforting shape, as opposed to, say, the kind of plates that you often encounter in cutting-edge restaurants that are all about angles and strange geometric forms. And you don't feel that you embrace the food in the same way. So I think we have to think about that comfort aspect of them too.
Okay, so apparently Dr. Goldstein would have me believe that even the very shape of a bowl is all part of some conspiracy to lull me into this state of culinary complacency. Shameless. But I had a feeling we were just scraping the surface of the bowl. We had to get down to the meat and the grain, which is probably farro. Honestly, I'm still not quite sure how I feel about farro, but I digress.
That was an excerpt from Proof, a podcast by America's Test Kitchen. And to hear Harry get to the bottom of the bowl, listen to the full episode. He gets into all kinds of theories about what fuels our collective obsession with them. And I will throw my theory into the ring. I think it's because this is how most cultures eat anyway. Because if you're eating out of a bowl, right, chances are the base of the meal is rice or grains or soup or noodles with some kind of topping, which means you're eating with a spoon or fork or chopsticks. The point is, you're not eating a giant hunk of meat that you need to cut with a knife. And so it automatically kind of helps you balance your diet, right? More grains and vegetables, a little less meat, and you get to shovel food into your face, which just feels awesome. Like, rah, rah, rah. Like, why do you not want to do that all the time? Anyway, listen to Proof wherever you get your podcasts. And we've also got a few recipes for, there really is no other word for it, bowls from America's Test Kitchen. Check them out. They're at splendidtable.org.